Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
As a scientist, I can tell you that Sundays are only 24 hours long. But with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV, you get every game every Sunday all in one place. That's upwards of 30 hours of NFL in one day. How can there be 30 hours in 24 hours, you ask? I have a theory. Magic. New users get NFL Sunday Ticket for 8 payments of $34.50 per month. Sign up at NFLSundayTicket.com. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games and commercial use. Terms and embargoes apply. Availability varies.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who has covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
TK Show, so glad to have us on my guest. I don't think that's correct language, but let's put it that way. Friend of mine, great guest, always love to talk to Mike Kruko, obviously Giants broadcaster. Mike, appreciate you being here. How you doing today?
TK, this is the best month of the year. You're either going to the playoffs or you're going home. There's no downside to September. And doing great, man. We're wrapping up another season, and good to talk ball with you.
Always great. Well, let's just go to the big picture first. And we'll talk a lot of other things. But Buster Posey's first season, so much has happened. You know, great start, trade for Devers. Didn't go so good there for a while. Rally back, and then kind of a fade at the end. They're three games under 500 right now. They got three games against the Rockies to finish, so they could very well likely end up 81-81. But that's the fourth straight season not winning, not non-winning season, non-playoff. Just as you look at this, Mike, big picture, what do you kind of get out of this? What happened this season?
Well, I think that they're in a really good place. I think this is the best place they've been in the last 4 years. And, you know, to kind of set the background of this season, you know, you have to talk about Buster Posey. And I'll tell you a story about him when he was a player. At the time, he was an established guy, and now he's in his 12th year. And Gabe Kapler was the manager, and he had the bullpen coach, Craig Albernez, he's a catcher coach. They started implementing the philosophy that Craig Albernez has, and he really was the father of the one knee down catching style, where you set a target as a catcher, and then you drop your hand completely down to the ground, and then you bring the glove back up. This is all while the pitcher's in his motion. And with the idea that when you catch the low pitch, you have hand movement that is coming back to the strike zone, and you can catch it with your hand moving it up into the strike zone, and you could get the low pitch. And so, I mean, as a broadcaster, and I was drafted as a catcher, and I always took – I was very careful with the guys I wanted to throw to. And I really appreciate guys that can catch and can frame and can block. And what the new style of catching was, when the guys went down on their one knee, they lost their lateral movement, and they were not great blockers. I mean, when they were catching across their body, they were reaching like a shortstop catching a backhand in the hole, and never really got a body on it. So I'm burying Chad Trump, who was the catcher at the time, going, what is going on? Mm. Plus, he had the target up, and then he dropped the target down to the ground and then bring it back up. And I'm going, this is sacrilegious. You don't move a target. You know, I go to Craig Albernez, and I listen to his explanation of this. He says, well, this is, you know, we can prove this by statistics that we're getting more low pitches than we've ever had. And we feel it's worth giving up a little of our blocking ability with this style of catching. So my next call was to Buster Posey, who was still a player at the time. I said, Buster, what the hell's going on? And he said, well, he says, you know, I've seen the numbers and it kind of makes sense. I go, but you're moving the target. You're taking the target away from the pitcher. Yeah, but, you know, there's other ways that you can pick up a target, which there are. You know, you can look at a knee or a shoulder or, you know, a mark on the chest protector. But it's just, it was different. And for me, an old school guy, I just couldn't believe it. And I said to Buster, are you going to do this? He said, yeah, I'm going to try it. I go, even with a man on third, when you have to block, he goes, well, probably then I'll go back up to the traditional form on both feet. I'm not completely sold on it yet because of that reason, but I am going to try this. So point being, here's a guy in his 12th year and a real traditionalist behind the plate and one of the best receivers and one of the best ball framers I'd ever seen in the traditional way of framing. But yet here he is, willing to make a change because it made sense to him when he saw the statistics. And that's kind of what happened when he took over the control of the Giants. Because prior to that, you had old school with Bruce Bochy, and then you had complete new school with data-based evaluation from Gabe Kapler and his coaches. And then here comes Buster. And it really has been a blend of the old school and the new school. And I think, you know, what Buster has done was, you know, he's come back in and he goes, I like all the things that I've seen. I mean, I like, you know, the whole thing with launch angle makes sense. However, I want to put the ball in play. I want us to make two strike adjustments. That's the first meeting of the spring. So he implemented some of the older philosophies, but he kept some of the newer philosophies. And in it, he really has developed a hybrid of how he expects this team to play. So that was the backbone going into spring training. And as we entered the season, you know, it became very interesting. They got up to a great start. Defensively, they got up to a great start. The bullpen was on fire. And it was interesting about the whole thing is that one of the high-priced free agents and the big get of the offseason, Willie Adames, was off to a horrible start. So through all the adversity that they faced, they managed to get through this year and make great gains that will really play forward. I'm getting a little long-winded about this, mm-hmm. and I want to give you a chance to break up to this, but I do want to finish as to where they're at and what the prospects are for what they've accomplished this year.
All right, Mike, so what specifically, maybe the kind of long-term things that you see that have kind of going to carry to next season, maybe the season after that? Like, what specifically are the positive points you see from this season?
Well, you have to begin with leadership. And I think the one thing that was accomplished this year with the addition of Adames and Verlander, and then when they got Devers, they really brought in veterans of credibility, and all of them hit the comfort zone. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Adames, who got off to a horrible start, but he was so consistently positive, even in the early days when the pressure was on him and he wasn't producing, but you know, he sorted it out. He wound up having a great year. The same thing with Devers. Devers gets here. He's like first 95 at bats. He had 40 plus strikeouts. And we're thinking, man, he's not in the comfort zone at all. Well, he is now. And Verlander's just been a rock. I mean, he's been so good for this team with all the youth that they have on the pitching core. They have, you know, arguably the best prototype in the game. At, you know, 20 years into it, this guy is such a stud, and he's such a great example as to how to go about being a professional pitcher at the big league level. They've got so many things in place. You know, Logan Webb has developed into a really good leader. And the nucleus of that clubhouse now is in place. They have a checks and balance. They have really good, hard, good example leaders that, that take care of, you know, small issues. It's just a strong clubhouse. And I think as you go forward with expectations to get to the playoffs next year, that's going to be the backbone of this club. And they had to work hard to earn it, and they have.
You bring up Devers. Just like the one thing, my buddy mentioned this to me, it really hit right correctly. He's got some Reggie Jackson in him, man. It's like he takes those big swings. What doesn't matter, one strike, two strike. He is trying to hit the ball a million miles an hour and often does. Some strikeout in there. There's probably more power and more strikeout in him than I thought he was. And maybe I just didn't know him very well from Boston. What have you noted just about the way that swing plays, the way he plays? And he's said he's not worried about Oracle Park distance, and he has not had a problem with that. Just what are the things you've kind of picked up from watching Devers for this half a season?
Well, I mean, he does get both cheeks into every swing, and you know, he looks to do damage. And I love the fact that he addressed the stigma of Oracle Park and the difficulty it is to hit home runs. And he just shook his head, said, it ain't going to affect me. And it doesn't. But the other thing, too, though, he's got finesse to his game. I mean, all those years he was hitting the left field and taking advantage of the green monster in Boston, he brought that here with him. And we've seen some really impressive opposite field home runs, or we've seen some really impressive opposite field at bats, period. And when they need a hit, you know, he's got some finesse to his bat head. You know, he can get that hit the other way. And the other thing, too, you know, here's a guy that was asked to play first base in the middle of the season. And, you know, when all of the instinct as an infielder is at third base. I mean, here's a guy who's got a great pride in his ability. And why shouldn't he? He's a Gold Glove winner. But yet he took on the task, and he's actually turned into a pretty good first baseman. And I only see that getting better. You know, some of the things that he does, like third baseman, you say, okay, you take everything you can get to when you go to your left. Any ground ball to your left, you go as far as you want. Well, he's applied the same thing at first base and going to his right. Mm-hmm. And there's been a couple of times when, you know, he probably should have stopped and headed back to the bag to cover because the second baseman was going to get it. But those are things you learn playing the position. Those are things that are instinctive, and you have to play in order to develop it, your instinct at a position. But he's going to be fine. I've got nothing but respect for the guy. Gets there early, leaves late, great attitude. Wants to help, loves to play. And I got to emphasize, loves to play. To me, that's everything. And he's a gamer. And we got a bunch of guys in that clubhouse that are the same way. They like to play baseball.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniel's and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Well, I mean, Posey's mentioned that, right? I mean, the Adames signing, this guy plays. He plays 158, 160 games a year. Chapman, obviously, you have to almost pull him off the field for him to sit out a game. That meant something to Buster Posey. Guys who just want to post. Have you felt that just from I mean, what's Posey's kind of presence been like when you, you know, you're around them, you kind of feel it. Is he a guy who you sense is there or you sense is watching? Just what do the players feel from Posey?
Well, I feel the same way about Posey as the president of the club as I did when he was a player. Remember, he came into the clubhouse. He got called up in September in 2009. He was pretty much gassed. But in 2010, he starts off down the minor leagues, and then he joined the club in Milwaukee, and he had just an ungodly series and whatnot. But it was more than what he did with the bat. It was his presence in the clubhouse. And this is a rookie. Mm-hmm. This is a rookie who established himself as a voice, as an opinion, and a respected voice in the clubhouse. And you don't see that very often. And we had a lot of veterans that have been around. But the way that Posey carries himself, what he sees, the opinions that he has about the game, about pitching, about defense, they're the same as a president that he was as a player. Defense is key. He stressed to help the defense this year, and they got off to a great start. They were one of the best defensive teams the first 2 months of the season, and then it went the other way. And they wound up finishing 14th in the National League in defense. That will be addressed. That will be something that he'll continue to address his entire career as the president of this club. And I'll tell you the importance of it. You know, the Giants' offense, you know, they've got reputation. But at times this year, they went dark. And when your offense goes dark for a period of time, you win games with your defense and your pitching. And they did not have enough defense to back up the pitching when the offense went dark. So as they go forth, you're going to see more of the continued philosophy about make adjustments with two strikes, put the ball in play, play smart. And I do believe that the defense will eventually rise to meet the abilities of the pitchers. And to me, that was the backbone of the championship teams in 2010, 12, and 14, the defense and the pitching. And every championship team that I was ever with that won a division or a pennant, it was always defense and pitching based. And I think Buster's philosophy is the strength of the club. And that's how you win. And I think that's how they're going to, I think that's the direction that they're going to go to. And I think that's why the prospects for this organization is so positive.
Bob Melvin's name has come up. Obviously, it wasn't a good time there for a little while. They did pick up his option. What's your sense of his situation with the Giants right now?
Well, I think Bob understands this team. I think that he was instrumental in letting the leadership develop from within. Because I think that makes it stronger when you have the clubhouse controlled by the players. But yet he was intuitive to the mood and the strength of his leaders. And I think because of that, you know, that it tells you why he's been around. I think he's, been managing for 22 years or something. Yep. But, you know, it tells you why he's lasted so long as he has. It's because he does understand this. I don't believe that anybody is going to be moved from the managerial or the coaching position. I'd be surprised if it was, but I think, you know, there's a foundation there that they can build on. And the relationship between the players and the coaches and the managers from what I've seen, is very strong.
You mentioned something I did not know about you. You were drafted as a catcher. I don't know how I didn't know this. when did you make the transition to pitching? I just think of you as the ultimate pitcher. That's because I hear you talk about it so much. It feels different to me. How did that all happen?
Well, when I was 18, I got drafted by the Angels, 32nd round. Kenny Myers, I'll never forget, he called me up the day before the draft. He said, "Hey, kid, you want to play professional baseball?" "Yes, sir." "Okay, we're going to draft you." And I was just a catcher. So the next day, and I get drafted 32nd round, and I look in the paper, and it says, "Mike Kruko."
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitcher, catcher, PC. And I'm going, what the hell? Because I'd never pitched. I mean, I threw one inning in high school, and that's, you know, in a blowout. I came from behind the plate, convinced my coach to let me pitch. And that was it. Kenny Myers was there. He says, you know, when I saw him, I said, why'd you draft me? I'm a catcher. No, kid, you're going to make some money being a pitcher. Right. Anyway, I didn't sign with the Angels. I went to Cal Poly and I, you know, played 3 years there. And when I turned 21, I got drafted as a pitcher. I never did anything but pitch at Cal Poly. Augie Garrido was our coach, and he told me the same thing that Kenny Myers did. Kid, you can't make money. You can't make any money with your bat, but you can with your arm. And so it all worked out. But, you know, it was hard for me to accept that because I loved catching. I loved playing every day. And I thought, you know, as that was what I would be. And so I really appreciated the catchers that took it to task, that worked hard, were good ball blockers, that were just dogs back behind the plate. I loved it. And that's an affection I've carried my whole career in baseball. I think it's the hardest position to play. I think they're a special breed to make it to the big leagues. These are guys that have, you know, they deal with pain every day. They don't talk about it. And I think they're the ultimate team player. So, you know, my respect for catchers is deep.
That gives me some insight in. I mean, you talk about hitting, and I know you're a baseball guy, so you understand all aspects of it. You're a pitcher so you're thinking about what hitters are thinking about. But some of the things you said, it's like he talks like a hitter a lot. And that's always something I should have asked you about this before. I assume like there's just some carried through insight because you spent, you know, a lot of years thinking you're going to be a hitter or being a hitter, I should say. Do you think that kind of combo aspect to this, like Buster was an infielder, right? He was an infielder through college a lot of times. It just kind of gives you a broader view of the game.
Well, and Buster closed too. He was a pitcher.
Yeah, that's right.
It really did. And remember when I played, you know, we didn't have the DH in the National League. And I always prided myself that I could hit. And I worked at it. I worked at bunting. I played pepper every day, which, you know, to me is the fact that guys don't play pepper anymore to me is sacrilegious.
Yep.
I could give you a whole hour on playing pepper, but I played it every day and I bunted every day. And these were things that I knew would keep me in the game longer. And if you wanted to get your decisions, you had to be around the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, cause that's where the wins were. You know, I learned that from my teammates when I was in Chicago, to Rick Rushel and Bruce Sutter. And when I got to Philadelphia, Steve Carlton and these things I respected that and I worked hard at it. You know, I was a good bunter and I could hit a little bit. And I'm so upset when they took away pitchers hitting, and I understand it. I mean, I got tired of watching guys not bunt or guys going up there being told don't swing for fear of injury. And then, which is just, you know, completely devalued the hitter's ability to be able to go and make a contribution with the bat. But you benefited so much by taking those at bats. You saw as a pitcher pitches. You saw the difference between a four seam and a two seam fastball. Well, if you're not in the batter's box, you don't know how good those pitches are. They're completely two different pitches. So I always thought that what I saw, I learned from, and I'd ask guys, how the hell, what was that? Well, that's a two seam fastball. Well, how do you throw that? You know, I mean, and that's how you grew. And the other thing too, is if you hit somebody, you had to hit. And there was your chance to get even and get you back. And you know what? I always thought that was a great checks and balance system in the National League. And I always thought that was an advantage over the American League because of it. But anyway, that's a tangent we kind of got off on.
No, I love it. I love hearing about this. It's something new to me. And also, I thought the Giants had an advantage when their pitchers hit in those World Series, when the American League teams have to come to Oracle Park and have to have no DH, right? We saw Vladimir Guerrero struggle in the outfield because he's a DH, and they had to get him in the lineup somehow. I've always appreciated pitchers who are athletes, pitchers who can feel the position, pitchers who can hit a little bit. Obviously, a lot of that's gone, but I've always, like, Greg Maddux to me was just your classic. The guy could do it all, and that helped him the value of his pitching because he could stay in the game, right? Didn't have to pinch hit for him. He could bunt. He didn't throw the ball away. I just always have admired pitchers who could do that and just be athletes.
Well, that Atlanta staff with Glavin and Smoltz and Maddux, I mean, all three Hall of Famers, but they all took it to heart. They worked hard. They were good bunters. They could put the ball in play. You know, they could hit situationally. They could put a ground ball behind a guy who's second base with nobody out. I mean, these are things that never really were appreciated, and now they're gone. And I do think that, although, you know, they won me over with the DH. I got sick and tired of guys going up there looking like a pair of shoes and not allowed to swing. That's ludicrous. But anyway, it's still a great game, TK.
I agree with you. But we're just talking about the old days. We're a couple of guys. We love to see pitchers go out there and do other stuff. Let's talk about some of the young guys. I mean, obviously, Bryce Eldridge is the guy we've all gotten a look at recently. Man, the ball jumps off his bat. There's no question about that. What have you seen from him? Obviously, he's swinging through some pitches, which is not a shock for such a young player, such a tall player. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from Eldridge so far?
Well, I'm really impressed. And I'll tell you why. The very first time I ever saw this kid hit, he had hit a home run at A-ball, low A, and he was in San Jose. And, you know, first of all, he's intriguing. Here's a guy who, you know, first-round pick. He was a pitcher, DH. He never played a position. Pitcher, DH. Mm-hmm. And he was a two-way guy. But they convinced him early on that, you know, there's more money in your bat than your arm, so you're going to hit. So now he had learned position, and he learned first base. And, you know, I mean, it takes time and reps and innings played to develop instinct, and he's in the process of doing that. But my first experience watching this kid hit, I'm watching him, you know, at the plate, and he's tall, 6'7", and 225 pounds. You know, he's a tall drink of water. And I never really like tall hitters because they had too many holes.
Yep.
Especially if you're 6'7", you know, you're going to get pounded on your hands, right? Well, he doesn't have long arms. And the first at bat I saw him, you know, he hit balls to the pole side of the field that were on his hands, on the inside corner at his hands or inside, and he was barreling those balls with bent elbows. He was getting to that pitch. That made me sit up in the chair. And then I saw him go to the opposite field and fillet a ball over the wall. Now, when you fillet a ball, I mean, you hit half the ball, and it's just kind of a lazy fly ball that kind of, from a left-handed hitter, if he hits it to left field, it's just kind of hook over to the line or slice from a lefty. It's going to slice over to the line. You know, you don't get it. It never goes over the wall. Mm-hmm. So that's an indication of power. And the other thing, too, when we saw more at bats, you know, he would backspin the ball the opposite gap. So that tells me he's got some flatness in his swing, which he does. To be able to backspin the ball and go the opposite gap, that's a perfect at bat. So I was completely intrigued. And, you know, you paid attention to his numbers. He's going to strike out. But since he's been called up, and this has been really the sampling that we've got to see this kid every day, his first at-bats, he was facing Yamamoto. Yamamoto's about as nasty as there is. Hmm. He swings to a breaking ball that's down in the dirt the first time, and then he took three pitches that were down in the dirt. Hmm. So his ability to identify a pitch, especially below the strike zone, and lay off it, invaluable. That's something that guys work at for years before they say that they have full control of their eye below the zone on balls that are breaking as quickly and as good as Yamamoto's. And then the other thing, he hasn't been off his back leg at all.
Yeah.
He gets good swings. He gets both cheeks into every swing he's taken. And that's another thing that stands out about the guy. So he's got presence right away. And I don't know how soon he's going to come. I would not be surprised if he made the team last year, but certainly at some point next year, he's going to be a big leader, and he's going to play for a long time. He's going to be that good. I get all the fuss about this kid. He is He is loaded with talent.
They got Willa. They got my daughter.
I need to find her.
Willa!
From acclaimed director Paul Thomas Anderson.
You can save that girl.
Today, experience what is being called the best movie of the year.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor, Chase Infinity.
Let's go! Here
I am. One battle after another. Now playing only in theaters. Experience it in IMAX. Rated R. Under 17 animated without parent.
You can hide.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
I'm Christian McCaffrey, pro running back, and Abercrombie is an official fashion partner of the NFL. I'm not kidding when I say NFL by Abercrombie broke the internet last year, and I think this season's lineup is even cooler. And so does my wife, who keeps stealing all my hoodies. Stay fit for the season in Abercrombie's newest arrivals. Shop NFL by Abercrombie in the app, online, and in store.
You mentioned this. I heard you the other night talking about the attendance, and it's definitely up, right? It's up 3,000 a game. You can feel it. It's noticeable. You talked about like the energy is back. When did you feel that? And we know how important it is to get crowds into Oracle Park. Just how significant is it that you've seen this kind of increase up to 36,000 a game in a not incredible season? You know, there's was good stuff, but not continuous great good stuff. What do you think this means?
Well, we saw it day one. I mean, camp was unbelievable. We saw it in spring training. The enthusiasm was back. I mean, understanding the fans in the Bay Area, the Giants fans around Northern California, and really Giants fans across the country, they don't miss anything. And they sense vibe as good as any fan base in the history of sports. And they sensed a different vibe from this team. They sensed a joy that this team had when they took the field. They enjoyed playing the game, and they did the little things right, putting the ball in play and getting the runners over. They were bunting in the spring training, and everybody in the stands saw it. Everybody in the stands felt it. And from day one when the season started, it's just been a homecoming with everybody coming back with the same happiness that we saw during the big years in 2010 and 12 and 14. It's just there's a style of play that they appreciate. And this is a style of play that they learned not with the Giants, but way back with the Seals in the Pacific Coast League. When the Giants came here in 1958 to a man, they thought they were coming here from New York going to show a bunch of bumpkins in San Francisco the game of baseball. And what really overwhelmed these guys, and I had a chance to talk to a bunch of them, that and they all said the same thing. They were so impressed with how intelligent these fans were and how they knew the game. And it carries into today's team. And that's when we saw it. And when the style of play that they like came back, they saw it early on. And you know, the news spread. You know, they're out of it. We had 34,000 last night. And it was a great crowd. People were happy. It was a great game. And they love baseball. And, you know, they're disappointed they're not going to the playoffs this year. But they also know that this team will be in the playoffs. And hopefully it starts the next year.
They really like seeing the same guys in the lineup every day. They do like that. And I like it as someone who watches baseball. What I can count on, the starting pitcher matters. I went on this rant with Fleming the other day. I want to see who's the starting pitcher in the newspaper. Like, when there's no more newspapers. But I want to see it. What's his record? What's his ERA? How I'm thinking about the game is through the starting pitching. And it's not just a bunch of relievers. So I don't think you'd be contrary to that part. That's for sure. And I do like the kind of the stability of it.
I think that's the key word right there, TK, stability. And everybody feels it. It's been so much fun. But and here again, you know, the broadcasters, we get to take all the thank yous, and we get to hear all the testimonials. Wherever we go in this town, people will come up to us and they'll tell us what this team means to them. And, you know, it just doesn't stop. I mean, it's one of the really incredible perks about being a broadcaster when you're telling the story of a storied franchise and you have a fan base that loves this franchise. You get to take all the compliments, you know. Players don't hear it, we hear it. And this has been a really positive year for all of us here in San Francisco.
All right, one of my favorite segments I do with anybody is this one with you. Mike Kruko, what's your favorite book right now? Give us a book recommendation. Your taste is so good on reading books.
Well, did I tell you about Will Thomas? Have you heard of him?
No.
Will Thomas writes, he's got a series, and I'm on the 15th book now. And it's about two inquiry agents in the late 1800s in England. They're detectives, but they call themselves inquiry agents. And the two main characters are Llewellyn and Barker. And it's really interesting as to how this guy does this. The very first book was about the Jewish community in London in the late 1800s. And it was fascinating, the study that he did with their culture within a culture. And how they basically existed. And then there, of course, was a crime that these guys had to, you know, solve that was within the Jewish community. But it was a really, really great historical depiction of a community within London that I never really even considered. And then the next book was about the Irish. And then the next book was about the Italians. And you know, and then he kind of, as the books have evolved and developed, you know, he's gone in depth more to the characters and their lifestyles, et cetera. But it's incredibly informative. His historical research comes through in these stories that are so intriguing. I used to always love Louis L'Amour when he would write about the West, because he would tell you things that the cowboys would do in their everyday lifestyle. Like, they would never shadow a pond when they were fishing. They would never put their shadow into a fish pond. You know, they would use white ash as baking soda up in the mountains. I mean, it's that stuff that's just so interesting to me. And that's what Will Thomas has done with these characters and with this series of books. So the Llewellyn Barker series, Will Thomas, totally two thumbs up.
Excellent. I'm buying one. I'm buying a book right now, and I'm sure I will like it, because I've said this before. There's nobody whose taste matches mine. Like, when you tell me about a book, you have not missed. And I've thrown a few to you, but not nearly as many as you recommended for me. And,
well, give me one now. What do you got for me?
I've been on a cold streak, man. I mean, I've been disappointed. I was kind of like committed to try to find new authors. Like, I've been going back through the old ones. I go, I love these old books. Let me try some new ones. And I've been missing, man. It's been tough. The Lost Bookshop, I recommend. It's kind of like a pulpy, little, not a tremendous kind of historical piece of fiction, but it's really interesting. I forgot E.V. Woods. I was entertained by it. It wasn't a great book. That's the last. I just decided to buy some new authors, and that one hit. Some others have really been misses, Mike. I've been really disappointed. I went back to The Day of the Jackal, which is, you know, decades ago.
That's, I don't
know
if you ever,
oh my God. It's like, I just need something that I know is going to deliver for me. So that was so contrary to my stated commitment to find new authors. But I've kind of run through a bunch of new authors that I like. And recently, for like 4 months I have been missing on something. I'm not going to name the authors, but really just like one of those where you close the book after 30 pages, Mike, and you go, I'm not reading this anymore. And that's really just like, there's nothing more disappointing to me than that. Like, I want a good book. I want to feel it. I want to soak myself in it, and I can't read it anymore. It's been disappointing.
I feel you. But you know what, though? We have definitely gotten over the sense of I have to finish this book because I paid for it.
No,
sorry, yeah. Life's too short.
Yeah, that's exactly like, if I'm disappointed, I can't go anymore. And you're right. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Now this is just another book I'm going to put on a pile, but I got to go on to the next one. Will Thomas, I thank you for that recommendation, and I'm definitely going to start reading it. I'm sorry I can't give you anything half as good. But as always, Mike, you come through. Great talking baseball with you. I did not know the catcher part of it. I'm really happy to hear that part. It makes sense to me. It really does make sense to me. So very glad about that. Mike, so thank you so much. Great talking with you. I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Well, TK, thanks for having me, and have a great offseason. I think it's going to be a really spectacular postseason, and I'm looking forward to it.
No, absolutely. And the Giants got 3 more games left, and then you will have an off season, and then I'm sure you'll have a good time, and we'll see you back at spring training. All right,
thanks,
Mike. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, did you order
the new iPhone 17 Pro? Got it from Verizon, the best 5G network in America. I've never looked so good.
You look the same.
But with this camera, everything looks better, especially me.
You haven't changed your hair in 15 years. Selfies?
Check, please.
New and existing customers can get the new iPhone 17 Pro, designed to be the most powerful iPhone ever. With eligible phone trade-in and unlimited Ultimate, any condition guaranteed. Best 5G source, root metrics data, United States, 1H2025. All rights reserved, trade-in and additional terms apply for all offers. See Verizon.com for details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.